If you take a look at that logo, one of the first things that anybody says is, oh, it's a Gordon Strickland. And it's just a very easy way to mock the team.
Islanders country, hello. This is PT Isles, the Do We Want Fish Sticks edition. I'm Miles Blog's Joe Bono. A reminder, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Please rate and review the show or listen to us on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, or visit us at nyislesblog.com. A lot of heated discussion on social media during the last week or so as Islander fans await the unveiling of the team's third jersey. The internet has been inundated with fan-originated concepts, including several that include the famed Fisherman logo. This has been the most polarizing Islanders debate since whether or not Josh Bailey is a good hockey player, and that one continues. To talk about it, my guest tonight is the author of the upcoming book, We Want Fish Sticks, The Bizarre and Infamous Rebranding of the New York Islanders, published by University of Nebraska Press. His name is Nick Hershon, and he joins me now. Nick, congrats on the book. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks a lot for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
So how and why did this project get started for you to go back and kind of really look at how this branding effort got started and, you know, what it meant to fans, players, and why it still has obviously resonates still here in 2018?
Well, I grew up as an Islanders fan, but I didn't really start following the team until I was a teenager, and this was in the late 90s, right after the Fisherman era, about 1999, and they were wearing the Fisherman jerseys 95 to 97. But when I became a fan, a lot of people at Nassau Coliseum would every now and then mention something about this despised, disgusting logo from the past, and we don't like to talk about it anymore, and I thought that would be something really interesting to research someday. And then when I started my PhD program, because I'm a journalism professor and I was going for a PhD in mass communication at Ohio University, I thought this would be a really good, fun story to tell as part of my dissertation. So I interviewed a bunch of the players and executives from that era, did a lot of research using newspapers and old television, radio broadcasts and such, and put together a book-length project about it that's now going to be coming out this December, like you said.
And this jersey and this rebranding effort, you know, I think for people looking back on this, this was part of a larger, you know, rebranding in all the professional sports and specifically the NHL that were going into more of these bright colors and cartoonish characters for logos. I think a lot of people look back and go, you know, what were they possibly thinking? But in the context, the Islanders were just trying to kind of maybe capitalize on some success other franchises have had with rebranding efforts.
Well, that's exactly right. That's actually one of the major reasons why I wanted to do this story, is because it's very easy to dismiss the Fisherman logo as being done with crayons one morning and they quickly unveil it as their jersey. But you need to put it in historical context. There were, first, the NBA's Charlotte Hornets introduced these teal jerseys that encouraged a lot of other teams to use teal as the Islanders would in the Fisherman jerseys. And in the NHL, you had Gretzky coming to the LA Kings. They unveiled new jerseys. The San Jose Sharks and the Anaheim Mighty Ducks have new jerseys that are flying off the shelves with cartoon logos, the way that the Islanders would have with this Fisherman. And the Islanders were also, they're kind of in a weird position financially. They are in part of a big market. We associate them with the New York metropolitan area market, but Islanders fans know we're kind of a small market team. We are on Long Island. We don't advantage from the kind of media coverage that the Rangers get. And because of some of those disadvantages, the Islanders always felt they needed to do something else to stand out. They didn't really have the money to rebuild a Nassau Coliseum into something better, create a new arena. They didn't have the money to spend on new players. So one of the other ways they can try to get a little bit more interest in the team is let's change up the jerseys, which is what they went with.
Nick Hershon is our guest, the author of the book, We Want Fish Sticks, The Bizarre and Infamous Rebranding of the New York Islanders. So maybe take us maybe inside the Islanders organization and how they ended up coming up with this logo and this jersey design. I think reading some, you know, they really struggle with the idea of what is an Islander, right? They're not like the San Jose Sharks, where you could put a shark in the logo and something is that simple. And it seemed like they struggled with that and had some other ideas too before they finally settled in on the fishermen.
Yeah, so there were a lot of conversations early on exactly to that question. What exactly is an Islander besides someone who lives on Long Island? And the first thing you come up with was, well, an island evokes images like sunsets and tropical beaches, those sorts of things, but some of that can be kind of hard to convey in a logo. At one point, they thought maybe something like a duck, like the Long Island Duck semi-pro hockey team that predated the Islanders on Long Island, but you then have brand confusion with the Mighty Ducks, which had just come into the league. So that wasn't really an option. And they think about things like crabs and seagulls. And at one point, an executive for the team jokes it should be a woman leaving Bloomingdale's with a shopping bag in her hand heading into a limo or something. Or it could be a traffic jam, or it could be all these sorts of things that are not exactly what we would want as an image or easy to represent as an image on a jersey. So they start thinking about Billy Joel, and he had a song, Down Easter Alexa, that came out in 1988. And in the music video for that song, it shows a bunch of fishermen on Long Island who are kind of struggling to make ends meet. And if you watch the video, it's kind of striking. A lot of them are older, bearded, gruff fishermen. And Billy Joel, of course, is the quintessential Long Islander. He's played Nassau Coliseum, the Islanders Arena, many times. He's very popular in an era when the Islanders wish they had some of that popularity. So why not go with this kind of an image? There's a little bit of a hope. Maybe Billy Joel will actually start coming to some games and he'll be like Jack Nicholson at the Lakers games and start showing up at the Coliseum. That doesn't happen. But they hope that this is going to appeal to Long Islanders' sense of place and heritage. Didn't quite work out that way in the end.
No, it certainly did not. Did they do any kind of focus group testing or bring in fans to kind of look at it? Because, you know, the reaction was visceral, and it was right from the start. I believe maybe it was the Daily News had gotten the copy of what the jersey was going to look like before the official unveiling, and they had a very negative viewpoint. I think the quote was that, you know, this Islander jersey will make you seasick. So I think a lot of people, when something like that gets unveiled, people go, how did people in the room sign off on this? So did they do anything like that before, you know, kind of putting this into motion?
It's kind of hard to believe when you look at what sports branding is like today, but even as recently as the early 90s, the mid 90s, when the Islanders were considering this logo change, it was really an unsophisticated business. Well, most people are going to buy jerseys just because they're Islanders fans anyway. They're going to buy it at the game. It's not any sort of a fashion statement. It's just something that people like to wear to the game, and then they throw it in their closet and never wear it out anywhere else. Nowadays, we know that it has totally changed, and we do have focus groups and interviews. So, no, it seems like there were a few very informal situations where executives may have asked their friends, their children, people around them, do you think this is a good idea? And then there were, of course, meetings among Islanders executives, including Bobby Nystrom, who was an executive of the team back then, and maybe even Al Arbour was included on some of those discussions, where they just toss around this idea. But it seems that pretty early on, Islanders ownership says, we like this idea. So they're not really looking for open-minded discussion, brainstorming session on what kind of stuff could we put on our jersey. They kind of present the fisherman logo as, this is what we want. Don't you guys think it's great? And it's sort of hard for any executive, if they want to keep their job or get a promotion, to kind of go against that. So you have this kind of spiral of silence in the conference room. No one wants to speak out against it too much, or they say a few things against it, but they're hesitant to go too far. Same sort of thing with the NHL, where the NHL actually recommended the branding design firm that had come up with the fisherman logo. Now that firm will say that was just one of many ideas that we had, and we didn't expect the Islanders to go in that direction, but it's coming from a very good firm that has a track record in the business, and that's how it ends up on their jerseys in 95.
A quote from the New York Daily News in 1995, They are thinking of replacing one of the most distinctive logos in sports with some ripoff of a frozen dinner symbol, embarrassingly reminiscent of the Gorton's Fisherman, the advertising logo used on boxes of Gorton's frozen fish sticks. And that resemblance plagued this logo from the very start. And, you know, when your rival New York Rangers start picking up on it, it didn't have much sea legs after that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of startling how they could not have caught, even without the focus groups or the interviews. If you take a look at that logo, one of the first things that anybody says is, oh, it's the Gorton's Fisherman. And it's just a very easy way to mock the team. So when the Daily News comes out before the logo is even officially unveiled and they get this leaked copy of the logo, and in addition to the article that you're reading excerpts from, they also run a photo illustration of Dennis Potvin, and they take the original Islanders logo off his uniform and instead put the fisherman on there. And so that's like sacrilegious, right, to have the Islanders captain in the dynasty era wearing this fisherman who looks like the Gorton's guy. And the Daily News is using all these puns. They also misreport aspects of the jersey that make it even worse than it would end up being. They're saying that the colors are going to be, I think, blue and black or things that never happened. And they don't mention the lighthouse patches on the shoulders that ended up being one of the more popular aspects maybe of those jerseys. So that's the media reception kind of doomed it from the beginning. Then you have some of the Rangers fans immediately picking up on it with the We Want Fish Sticks chant, which is why the title of the book is We Want Fish Sticks. And that all just did it in very early on. It also didn't really help that the Islanders were a bad team at that time. And I still maintain that if the Islanders were winning that year, if they went to the playoffs, if they get deep, then people love those jerseys because you just have an association with how the team was performing. But they get off to disappointing start. It's the Mike Milbury era. It's Kirk Muller. It's a bunch of decisions that Islanders fans would like to forget. Nassau Coliseum is leaking, and there's all these problems. John Spano comes into it. So there's a lot of terrible things that now Islanders fans kind of associate with this one logo.
And Islander fans quickly kind of went to the streets in their own way, protesting the logo, and wanted the old logo, the classic NY, back, and actually won their way 2 years later. So then you have that kind of one season where it's the, you know, fisherman era jersey with the waves and all and the lighthouse patches with the NY logo. Did you get a chance to talk to any of the members of those Save the Islanders Coalition, a lot of those fans that organized some of those protests about the logo during that time?
Yes, I spoke to a few of the fans from that group, including Tom Croak, and got to ask them about what their opinions were in that period. I think most Islanders fans felt the same way. It's a franchise that felt like it was cursed for a long time. They didn't feel like they were being heard at all. And one of the only things that they had to go back on, which management didn't really realize at that time, was the logo that they could associate with the four Stanley Cups. When you get rid of that, which is the only thing the Islanders franchise really has, even to this day, because they never won another Stanley Cup, you then take away anything about what it is to be an Islanders fan. So they just, you know, the Rangers fans are mocking them mercilessly. Their team is failing on the ice. And they do. They take to the streets. They form this Save the Islanders Coalition. There's video recordings of them holding meetings at the Long Island Marriott and railing against the team. And eventually all of that backlash does lead to them returning to their original logo. But it takes much longer than it probably should have. And it's really that this should never have been adopted in the first place, probably.
Nick Hershon is our guest, author of the upcoming book, We Want Fish Sticks. You can get it this December, I'm sure, on Amazon and wherever else books can be bought. And, I think right now what you talked about, you know, on social media in the last few days as we await kind of what this next third jersey of the Islanders is going to look like, a lot of fans are coming up with their own concepts, and a lot of them obviously have put the Fisherman logo in that concept, and some are very bad still, and others are, I think, very nice if there wasn't all this baggage with the logo and what that period of time represented. For me, it's very different as someone who was 15, 16 years old around those years, is that previously that Fisherman logo completely replaced what you had talked about, having the classic NY logo, which was synonymous with the dynasty years and the inception of the team. As a third jersey that's always been kind of unique and quirky in the NHL for 10 to 12 games, personally, I have no problem with it. But as you've seen, Nick, people are – and I'm curious as to what the age group is. My guess is it's the people that maybe were really against it at the time, maybe in the 20s and 30s and 40s. They want none of this logo. Still, they kind of would rather it kind of be put in a box and never be seen again.
Right. And you make a very good point there, that the Islanders made this decision right before the third jersey program is being inaugurated. If they had made the original Fisherman jersey worn in 20 games or something like that, fans may have protested a little bit, but they wouldn't have seen it as such a departure from tradition. We're turning our back on Todvin and Gillies and Nystrom and Smith and all of that. I think that the emotions that you see, you're right, they're kind of split down the middle. I think fans who were around for those dynasty years and the inception of the team, and then they saw the Fisherman logo, they're going to be reacting to it in a much more violent, aggressive way. Because they associate it with this down point and kind of change in the Islanders' history where they still are kind of trying to recover from that period. Whereas fans who are just discovering it for the first time, because now we're getting almost 25 years, right? So you have a lot of fans who never knew those original teams from 1995, 96. They don't know Mike Milbury or Kirk Muller or any of those disastrous things that happened. And they just think the logo kind of looks cool and retro. And I agree. I've been looking on Twitter the last few days at all these different designs. I think people have come up with some very creative things, and I would love if the Islanders were to use some of that. I think that there is a nostalgia there. And there are, for all the negative memories, and I get that there's a ton of those justifiably, if you speak to some of the players, as I did from that era, almost to a man, they have positive memories of the games they were playing in, the teammates that they had. Some players, it was the only jersey they ever wore in the NHL. For some, it was their first jersey for the rookies. Some for the veterans, it was their last ever NHL jersey. So they'll tell you they didn't really care so much. I mean, maybe it wasn't necessarily the first thing they would have gone with, but still it symbolizes that they made it to the highest echelon of hockey. So for a lot of people, there will still be, you know, memories of Ziggy Palfy and all that he did for that team, and Tommy Salo coming up with the team. And, you know, there were stretches there where they performed kind of well in those jerseys. So there is a little bit of the positivity that gets drowned out with all of the people who just hate Mike Milbury and everything else.
And talk about some of those specific players that you spoke to and maybe some of the feedback they had. The foreword of the book is actually written by former Islanders goaltender Eric Fichaud. So maybe some feedback from what he had to say and any other Islanders that you spoke to that wore the jersey during that period.
Well, Eric was just a terrific interview. That's how we first met, is I had just contacted TVL Sports in Canada, where he's now a hockey analyst, and said, would he be willing to do an interview? They got back to me right away, sure. And I just had a very open-ended, long conversation with him about what the jersey meant to him. And, you know, he was, you know, rookie playing for the Islanders. He associates it with his teammates and growing up. You know, it's for him, it's nostalgic too. These are memories of when he was a young guy getting used to being in the NHL, playing against Wayne Gretzky, you know, just getting to the Nassau Coliseum every day, all those kinds of early memories. And then when I decided I was going to turn this into a book and I got the book contract with Nebraska, I asked Eric if he would write the foreword, which turned out really well. And for most of his teammates, and I interviewed 51 people for the book, and most of those are players or executives, most of the players I spoke to, you know, they do have some negative commentary about the logo. But they often talk about their teammates and how much they enjoyed playing with those other guys. And a few of them thought that if they had a little bit of luck, if maybe Mike Milbury hadn't traded away some of those guys who ended up becoming stars with other teams, like Tommy Salo, like Ziggy Palfy, who was a star with the Islanders but went on to even more with the Kings, that they may have had a chance to be a playoff contender. You know, they're like kind of the old Montreal Expos who traded away all their players, and then you see them on other teams and you're like, maybe they could have won a World Series. And that's kind of like with what happened with the Islanders. So they're sad that they couldn't perform for the fans because they have a lot of good memories of Long Island and the Coliseum. But they, you know, kind of still happy to have some of those memories from that era.
How about players that just wanted to have, you know, none of it? I think you spoke with Mick Vokoda, and certainly he was a, you know, a tough enforcer type player for the team for many years. Doesn't seem like the type of guy that would, you know, mix words a little bit. Were there any players, Mick or otherwise, that just, there were no fond memories? It was just a complete, you know, embarrassment to put on that sweater?
Yeah, I mean, Mick's memories, and he was a very good, honest interview, were mostly about Mike Milbury and how much he disliked playing for him, frankly, and not as much about the jerseys. And he has some great stories I have in the book about how they clashed in the locker room, stuff that I've never seen published anywhere before. Rich Pilon was quoted in an article around the time saying, you know, I like these new jerseys. They make us look bigger with that Fisherman logo. And so when I interviewed him, you know, 20 years later, so did you really think that? And he's like, nah, man, I was just trying to find some positive. You know, you're given this jersey and you want to have something positive to say. You can't be Debbie Downer all the time. But, you know, so a lot of guys did say stuff about, you know, it was rough because the team is losing and then you're going on the road and you're being mocked by some of the away fans. And, you know, there are a few guys who described, you know, you get traded to the Islanders, you're playing in a game, and in one of your first games, you know, you're hearing fans in the stands saying, no more fish sticks, or we want fish sticks. And you're like, what the hell does that refer to? And then they had, you know, their teammates would tell them, oh, it's because of our jerseys. So certainly for some of those guys, there were kind of groans about it. I think overall, though, they came down to, look, we were concerned about things much bigger than jerseys. The jersey is out of our control as player. You know, we're trying to figure out how can we just improve as individuals, work together as a team, and follow the coach's orders as much as we can, even though sometimes they didn't make a lot of sense to us. But yeah, that, you know, by no means do I mean to present it as if they were all loving this jersey. I just think that it wasn't necessarily the most pressing thought on their minds. And if anything, they just kind of didn't like the distraction that it caused, the press attention and a lot of the fans asking them as they're walking between the Marriott and the Coliseum for practice or a game, you know, hey, do you like those jerseys? Well, don't you think those jerseys are terrible? And it just was something they didn't really want to focus on.
You know, quite incredible. You know, and people have been saying, you know, online the last few days that these jerseys made the team a laughingstock, but there was plenty of reasons to call the Islanders a laughingstock, you know, during that period. And I think what's so amazing to me thinking back on it is that, you know, the team was looking for a rebranding because they were removed from the Stanley Cup years. But that's like, that was only like 10 to 12 years after the last time they were in the Stanley Cup finals. That seems like right. Such a short period of time now that we're, you know, 25 plus years from now as well. And obviously Islander fans have seen other third jerseys kind of come and go since. They saw a bit of a rebranding effort when they first went to Brooklyn with black and white jerseys. Overall, do you, in terms of the industry and what they do well and what they maybe don't do well still, are you surprised that there are still so many misses when it comes to these efforts? With all that information, all that resourcing, all the outlets and kind of history to go on as to what worked and what didn't work, that there's still a lot of misses. Is that surprising?
Well, I mean, I think that a lot of sports branders and teams have learned from some of the things the Islanders didn't do. They didn't reach out to their alumni. They didn't reach out to the fans, the focus groups, the interviews, all things we talked about. But there's a lot of this that is hard to just paint by numbers and say, you know, here's a, you know, how-to guide for dummies on how to create a sports logo or uniform. It's hard to say what works and what doesn't. One of the things that I would advise teams like the Islanders, it kind of is a little counterintuitive, but a lot of teams tend to brand when they're at a low point, like the Islanders were. Let's try to reinvigorate interest in our team by changing our look, even if we can't immediately change our performance on the ice. And then it'll infuse some cash into our coffers because fans will buy whatever new jersey we unleash. And that works to an extent, and sales of fisherman jerseys certainly improved. It's actually kind of funny. People did buy the Islanders fisherman jersey more than they had bought the previous seasons in a Long Island map jersey. But then the team starts losing, and there's no goodwill for these jerseys, and there's negative associations. So it's actually smarter to rebrand when your team is about to have an upswing. Like right now would be a great time for the Capitals to introduce some new jersey. Now, it's not saying they should necessarily depart completely from the traditional jersey that they have, but a third jersey that has some sort of new logo, because there's a lot of interest in the team right now. There's an expectation that they're going to win. Look at what the LA Kings did. They got Wayne Gretzky, the greatest hockey player ever. They know they're about to start winning a lot of games, so this is the time to change our uniform colors. And that's kind of what the Islanders could do. So, like, right now probably wouldn't be the best time because we're not quite sure what the future holds for them in the post-John Tavares era. We have some optimistic outlooks about Lou Lamoriello, and now today Mitch Korn came to the team, and Barry Trotz and all that, but you know, you'd probably wait until Barzal is doing is a little bit further along in his career and you have some more talent around him. But as far as like specific color schemes or images, sometimes you just look at jerseys that sell right and you can't quite make sense of it. Why did this one work and this one doesn't? And, you know, years later, this one seems hot, but it wasn't selling back then. So it's an inexact science.
I know you interviewed Paul Lucas of UniWatch and Phil Hecken, also of UniWatch. He grew up an Islanders fan, and I found an article online where, you know, he says that this jersey, you know, has gained, quote, cult status in some circles. He loves it in a it's so bad it's good kind of a way, and it actually was the basis for his UniWatch membership card. So, yeah, and he goes on to talk about the waves and the asymmetrical numbers and non-aligned nameplate. There was a lot happening there, and obviously, some people remember it fondly. Other people remember it with disdain, but everyone seems to remember it. And I think that's what's going to make your book a really good read. Again, the book is We Want Fish Sticks, The Bizarre and Infamous Rebranding of the New York Islanders. Nick, any final words about the book, the process, and where people can find it towards the end of this year and around Christmas time?
Well, the book comes out on December 1st, University of Nebraska Press, as you said, and I'll be doing lots of different events. I'm scheduling them right now, and I'll try to be across the city in Long Island to get out and talk to the fans. I'm going to be at the Offside Tavern at one point, I think during a Maple Leafs game, so I'll wear my pajamas for that one. And it'll just be fun to get out there and talk to people. And again, I would just say with all this stuff, I understand that you see the fisherman logo and you immediately have a visceral reaction. That's from a negative period. That's so bad. Just think about the context there a little bit, and certainly don't blame the guys who wore it. You know, I dedicated the book to the players on those teams because I think they get a bad rep. And at the end of the day, most of those guys just want to win for Long Island. They want to win for each other. And I think there's something really nice in that story. And that sometimes these kinds of teams where there's a lot of dysfunction and chaos there, they can be a lot more fun to read about than the teams that won it all. So I hope that fans agree on that. And I'm really looking forward to getting out there and talking to people about it, sharing their memories of Niles and, all those things.
Oh, we didn't
get
into Niles. Oh, I forgot about Niles. Real quick, right? Niles came out even before the jersey, right?
Yeah, they unveiled Niles the mascot. So the Islanders had never really had a mascot. And as part of the first step of their rebranding, they unveil a mascot in that lockout shortened season in 94-95. So he originally was like this big bulbous figure, was so rotund that he could hardly like skate around on the ice and didn't have a name and didn't have a number on his jersey, all this kind of stuff at the very beginning. And then they change him up for the 95-96 season. So he actually debuted with the old Islanders logo on his jersey, with the original Islanders logo. And then he becomes pretty much a manifestation of the fisherman, except he has this red beard and he has a goal light atop his head that flashes whenever they score a goal, which means not a lot in that era. It was kind of funny. I interviewed a few of the guys who played Niles, Rich Walker, Rob DiFiore, who were great guys who, you know, worked for the team back then. And, they also, unfortunately, faced a lot of abuse from fans who kind of forget there's someone inside that suit. So as much as you may dislike the fisherman logo, don't kick those guys. Don't punch them and shove them and spit at them. And apparently all that kind of stuff happened to them when they were fans or at events. I just think it would be really fun if the Islanders, even for a game or two, have some sort of retro night. Why don't we bring back Niles one more time? We don't need to retire his number or anything like that. But, bring back Ziggy, bring back Travis Green, some of these guys who Robert Reichel had a positive impact and did some good things for the Islanders. We can, we don't have to invite Spano and Milbury. Their invitation gets lost in the mail.
Spano might not be available these days, so I think
that's fine.
Always loved how Niles kind of reminded people of Jigs McDonald, and obviously the fisherman reminds people of Stan Fischler. So a lot to unpack for a logo and a jersey that only lasted 2 years. Nick, thanks once again. Good luck with the book, and I'm sure we'll connect some point during the season.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.